Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of The Sliwa Show.
Was everybody in on this?
Just
like,
a second,
they already had all this stuff produced
because
they knew you were going to win?
Let the music just play for a little bit. Just give me a second here. Just enjoy this moment.
Wow. I am just stunned.
It's a good day. It's a good day right here.
Mason, what happened to you? What happened to you, Mason?
Yeah. George, I have no idea what happened.
This week.
Here's the crazy thing about
film,
this is
stretched.
They're counting mine up, and Alan, they're just saying is he's way behind.
Practice. We had great practices. I mean, two-a-days.
Who is we?
I watched it. I am, in honor of the Alliance, I am officially filing a protest because we could not see how many dogs Alan was actually eating. We
could
see clearly what 100%. Mason was eating. And because of that, I am officially filing a protest in honor of the Alliance. And until we see, did we see clear images of where the hot dogs were? Were there any hot dogs on the floor? Were there any animals eating these hot dogs for Sliwa?
All these things. You're right, George. You're absolutely right. We never saw Sliwa eat a single hot dog.
Sedano, sometimes... Sedano, sometimes you just got to take an L. Sometimes you just got to take an L. And
Sliwa, all
today,
I saw was your bald head. I didn't see
any
hot dog.
That's fine. But this bald head, had a W today. So, I mean, that's all it is, right?
I am the attorneys, Jacob Imrani, who also is a representative of the Alliance, has already been summoned and will be filing an appeal.
You know what? I think this is – I really do think this is rigged. I really do think this is rigged.
Okay, no, listen. Let me make this very clean and simple, and you could say the Alliance, and people can say the controversy, all that. You guys can spend all the time you want doing that. I took down 9 hot dogs. Mason took down 8.
How?
Took that video afterwards. I showed everywhere, the trash can, the this, the that. I took down 9 dogs. I don't know
what
you guys
are gonna tell. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. How did they already have the celebration montage ready unless they knew it was cooked?
Because we had Mario and Chris and Curtis and me working together to get it done.
Right as it happened?
Oh, yeah. We were all recording live and trying to get everybody the audio where it needed to be.
Wow. Well, I will say this. Congratulations to Carlo Sisu. Congratulations to Adam Bronstein and Chris Morales and Mario Ruiz, who all did a fantastic job. And I will never believe this to be the fact, because I never saw you eat. I never saw you eat a hot dog. I'm disputing it.
I'm texting with Jacob and Ronnie right now. 844 call Jacob. Call Jacob.com. And he is going to file an injunction on our behalf.
Excellent.
It's okay.
Excellent.
I got the Wallace firm as part of the Sliwa Show, so we're on it. We got attorneys everywhere.
Trust me.
Attorneys everywhere.
You know what's kind of sad about
Mace,
this?
Mace.
We
no, real
totally
quick, real
spent
quick,
like
Mace.
A half hour testing this,
Mace,
making
just,
sure that we would be golden.
From your heart of hearts, Mace, do you believe me, yes or no?
Do I
believe
you?
Me, yes or no? Yes. Yes or no?
I'm going
to
say...
you believe that I had 9 dogs, yes or no?
No. I don't believe it.
It's okay, then. That's okay, then.
I don't believe
Momo,
it.
By the way, Momo, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear Mace literally try to run you under the bus that you were steering him the wrong way by telling him you had a
I was. I feel guilty. Race? I feel complete. I feel like Carrie Champion at the marquee race.
Because I actually eased up.
I was
because
not
you,
gonna,
I eased
I
up because you said I was way ahead.
I thought you were.
Every time I looked up, Mace, I would see you looking at me, and I'm like, why is he looking at me? Eat. Like, there were times
of us
you could were...
tell what you were doing. I kept saying,
I mean, listen,
Alan, can you tell us how many dogs you've had? And you would never answer me, but Mason would always answer.
I'm in the middle of a game. I'm in the middle of a game. I don't have time for that.
In my heart of hearts, Ooh, go ahead, George.
I'm with Momo. I feel like every time I was watching, I heard Momo ask for a number. You wouldn't give anyone a number. Like, it was, you didn't really play by the rules, Sliwa. I feel like this was very underhanded what you were doing here. That's why we can't necessarily believe that you actually ate the nine.
I'm good. Whether you guys believe it or not, I took down nine. So Nano, the only reason why,
Mace, you screwed this up though, because now you're gonna have to do dull crosstalk.
It's true. I am going to have to do dull crosstalk from now on.
Mace, you can do whatever you want.
You led up in the last few yards, and Marcellus made it close. Now, we had video evidence there that showed Keyshawn won. I don't know. Do we trust Alan Sliwa to know that video he sent us is real? I think that this is going to have to go to a
disappointed George
Pierce.
To an arbitrator. Binding arbitration. I'm represented by Jacob Imrani, 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Get Jacob on the phone.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I'm a little disappointed that people don't believe me, but let me just real quick. 844-844 wins, free consultation. Brad Walson, the Wallensburg. Just a heads up.
So everybody is represented. It's my man against your man.
We have lawyered up.
Yep.
Beto Duran has just tweeted us saying that we need a 30 for 30 on how Sliwa cheated, basically calling him the Ben Johnson of hot dog eating contests.
That's yes. Right. That
we need vindication for Mason. Sedano, no es justicia, he says in Spanish. No justice for Mason.
Yes.
That's great.
No justice.
Okay.
Mace,
and my
how do you
heart
feel?
Of hearts.
Mace, how do you feel right now? Just how do you, like, I'm talking about, like, physically, the fact that you had eight dogs. Like, how do you
feel? I've got a trash can right here.
Yeah, I'm not feeling good.
It could go at any moment.
Definitely not feeling good.
We may see chunks. Because, you know, most of it's not even chewed.
Yeah.
No, but the water. The water was everything. Without the water, you got no shot.
I don't think I'll ever drink water again.
I was close to when I'm just having the dog like 5-6 in and it's just oily. Oh, that was not good. That was not a good feeling. The bun with the water saved everything.
I'm going to go drink my sorrows away with a nice cab, Mace, in your honor. And we will have to wait to see what the injunction, what comes of the injunction.
Absolutely. We'll get Jacob on the phone. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Or visit call Jacob.
Oh, man.
That is so good.
Jacob.
That is so good.
Alan, you know, here's how I think we got to do this.
See you, George. Thanks, man. Have a good holiday.
Hey, this is what I need to know.
Go ahead.
Brian Kamenetsky says, I distinctly heard the banging of trash cans coming from Sliwa's hobble. How do you respond, Sliwa? How do you respond?
Listen, I have no problem being 300% honest. And if you guys don't believe it, I'm all good with that. I had nine dogs. I don't need to like sit here and show the footage and justify the whole thing. I won 9-8. Sometimes, like I said, Mace, Mama said there'd be days like this. You take L's every once in a while. You got many wins in this business. Let me enjoy my one.
Oh, God, it just doesn't seem possible.
The worst thing is eating all that and losing.
ESPN
I know.
Is powered by Power Pro Heating and Air and their Cross Trade Power Pro Service Specials. Great cross trade service for our listeners right now. $99 drain cleaning. Go to powerproplumbing.com. Let's not talk about what could easily happen in my drain in probably
I need a drain cleaning about now.
Right, I think we're there. I think we did.
We're there.
I literally feel as sick as you can possibly feel, but there's still adrenaline that's kicking in right now.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna get worse.
That's great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Roboto.
At some point, you're going to retch. I mean, let's face it. At some point, you're going to retch. Just do it on the air, man. You're an entertainer. Do it on the air.
I talked to Greg earlier, okay? I said, Greg, I have a serious question. He's like, yeah. I'm like, Greg, literally, what if I'm going to throw up or what if I need to throw up? What do I do? He's like, just go throw up. It's good for radio. Let everybody know you're going to throw up. I'm like, all right, well, that's what we're going to do then on the show.
Live it on the air, man. Be real on the air. That's what it's all about. That's what Momo mastered. She's all Momo.
Yeah, I didn't even put on any makeup for this.
Yeah.
All right, you were going to say, real quick, Ramona, you were going to say, in your heart of hearts, what were you going to say?
Momo went big time.
I believe that you ate a lot of hot dogs, Ellen, because I was watching you and you never really stopped eating. I just couldn't tell when one dog ended and the next began. And I feel sorry for you that there is a pretty high probability that you did eat nine hot dogs, but this victory is going to be tainted. And
yeah, no
I hate to say this, I hate to say it, but I feel like you guys are going to have to do this again, like probably not soon, probably like Labor Day.
Yeah, okay? It's not happening again.
But probably next 4th of July.
Next 4th of July. I mean, but I'm never going to get the image of Steve Mason with his one leg on the table stance out of my head. I just... I couldn't even look at the screen. If I looked at the screen, I was going to die laughing because it was so funny. Like, I'm going to make some extra room with my leg up.
Yep. That's what I went for.
Oh, Mace, well, I feel bad. I led you astray. You know what? You put it on me. I feel bad. I didn't know.
I got to go back and see the video.
There is there is no video. You can't see you eat.
We saw your head down eating a lot, but you just never.
Unless the brooder was in the room.
This is the one piece of advice that I'll give you. You were watching me too much. Like, why were you watching me?
Because
like you were looking at the score. You know how people start playing the score. Why are you playing the score?
Right. I'm looking at the score and I'm winning.
Just got to go through the clock.
Man, that's tough. I feel really bad.
It's a bogus win. I'll say that. It's a bogus win. It will always be disputed.
You know what we could do?
Doesn't believe that.
I have a solution for you.
Nobody's having any more hot dogs, Ramona.
We could have one more hot dog. We could have overtime.
Thank you, Momo. It's going to be a while before I eat another hot dog. It's going to be a while. I'm more of a burger guy. All right, Alan, do you want to take things over?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm going to go. You guys have fun.
Happy tainted victory.
I'll take it. It's okay. I'll take it. You guys have a good 4th of July.
Yep, you too.
All right. Where do I start? By the way, unbelievable. Some of the people that I had to listen to today running their mouths all day long. And now I got to listen to this. I didn't have nine hot dogs.
I warned them. You were, silent Sliwa. You were just laying low, getting ready to take them down.
By the way, that part I don't even care about. And I'm definitely close to potentially hurling. That part I don't even care about. Just the mere fact of them not believing that I had nine. Come on now. Right after it ended, what'd I do? I took the video down. I showed them I have two hot dogs left all around. Like, do they really need this scientific evidence? But it's all good. It's all good. How do I physically feel right now? I feel like I had nine hot dogs. That's definitely how I feel. We still have a show. We're going until 9 o'clock and we're not going to slow down. Now the adrenaline's coming in. Quick shout out to Kirk Morrison real quick. Kirk Morrison the last 2 days saying, if you're going to come bring it. So shout out to Kirk Morrison. And then also a shout out to whoever voted for me on the vote. I don't know why I was getting the votes. I tried staying very low key, gave up none of my game plan. And I feel disgusting right now. We got a good show lined up today. When we come back, Jesse, Adam, Chris, whoever's in there, we could talk a little bit more about this. Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers and MLB for ESPN. He'll join the show. Kevin Baxter covers soccer for the LA Times. MLS should be or could be in jeopardy. He'll come on right before I probably hurl for the third time. And Antonio Morales from The Athletic, the history of extra sports 690. Fantastic piece. Actually talks a lot about Mason and Ireland and some of these radio talents that we're very familiar with in Southern California. We should now go to break, and I will regroup, and when we come back, we'll sort of talk sports, and we'll talk about let's talk about the W. Sometimes in life, you just got to show up and grab a W, and it is what it is. Mason's got to take the L today. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. You got to step up when it's needed. You know what I mean? When nobody's counting on you. You just got to stay silent. Jess, Curtis.
Let me hold up my lighter.
Bronny. We do this for the evening show. That's kind of the goal of what we're doing here. Kirk Morrison, obviously a shout out to Kirk. Some people don't have faith in you. And I'm not going to call out any names. Somebody's who does a show from 10 to 12. A couple of those guys there, actually even all three of them, if you want to count them. A couple other people that chimed in. Jesse heard Ben Lyons, that's not even going to be close. And Ireland put down $10,000 of mythical money. I mean, it's one of those things where you just kind of, you store that in the back of your mind. You know what I mean, Jess? And then, when it's
you
game
just
time,
just wait for that opportunity. Wait for that.
When it's game
moment.
Time, you just get nauseous for 7 straight minutes and almost throw up a couple different times. Greg Bergman, what's going on, man? Thank you for being
what's
here, buddy.
Up? Basking it right now, Alan. Basking all of the glory of the beatdown that you just put on Steve Mason. That
Can't
was
believe.
Fantastic. I am so proud of what you just
Such
did.
Little faith.
That was so
Such cool. little faith today.
I had zero. Look, I'm not going to lie. I saw Steve Mason eat 13 donuts and destroy Amanda Brown while doing it. I thought he had you just completely ruined, and you took over. I'm proud of you, man. That was awesome. I'm disappointed in Steve Mason right now. Why is he not on the air with you right now?
He's probably throwing up, something I should be doing. He's definitely probably doing that. I don't know.
He's welching.
I don't know. I kind of allowed him. I just said, look, go till 7. I got it from here, Mace. You took the L. Call it a day. You know what I mean?
He
like sometimes.
But he didn't even take the L. There was no L taken. He never said, yes, I lost.
Yeah, what was
that? Said,
what
no,
was all that? What was
you guys went
what is all this?
Lawyers.
I mean, we already have a trial date. There's already a trial date set.
Steve Mason should be on this air right now till 9 o'clock with you after losing fair and square. I watched that whole thing and we couldn't.
I'm gonna come up with a better bet. I got to come up with something because even that wasn't. That one was just. I feel like that was just thrown out there. We'll come up with something else. Don't worry. We'll find something for Mace, Greg. Don't worry about that.
Either way, you killed it today, Alan. Great job.
So, Berg, so you texted me, or we talked a little bit earlier. By the way, Amanda, at the ninth hour, just came in with some text with some game plan too. Talked about the water as well. Basically, I got a little bit of an analysis of her loss to Mace earlier. I had you telling me, hey, if you need to throw up, just go throw up in the middle. Go throw up in the middle of your show. So it sounds like we're covered. We're definitely covered on this thing. I'm looking at the camera now. I should have the camera back.
Jesse and Curtis got you. Go ahead
yes.
and throw up. Make it happen.
Me and Alan talked about this earlier. I told him, Alan, if worst comes to worst, me and Curtis, we're here. We got you up until whatever it is you got to do. But we're here.
We got – so, Greg, so what do I do now from here? What do I do? Now do I just kind of kick back and just enjoy the W? Why was everybody so down that I had no chance in this? It's their hot dogs.
Well, because Steve Mason has done this. He has not lost a competition in all of quarantine, and he destroyed Amanda during the donut eating contest. So, and the guy that's been around for so long, that has done so many different challenges, he buried himself alive for a radio bit. Like, it just seemed like this was right in his...
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious right there.
So, like, to think, like, you know, you, who, no offense to you, haven't been around very long, haven't done any bits with us. We don't know what you can and can't do. And you came in and just destroyed him. It was fantastic. That was
you know
exactly what we wanted.
Let me tell you something. Curtis yesterday went through top 5 list of like strategies on speed eating hot dogs. Okay.
WikiHow.com.
WikiHow.com.
What's up, WikiHow?
Internet Authority.
Yes, WikiHow. Yes. Most trustworthy site that I know of. And then, bro, throw YouTube on for 20 minutes. You're going to learn how to – you want to know what the strategy was?
Yeah,
okay, Berg, here was the strategy. Strategy was this. So you had to have your dogs on the left. I had to have a bowl of water, right, ready to go to dunk in the buns in.
Bun.
You had to have a cup of water just to help take it down. Then you had to have like another bowl in front of you when you dip the buns. You actually squeeze the water out like a sponge, okay? And then
this
you just
great.
Take it down. And you just take it down. And I just, the moment the clock hit, I just literally was doing exactly these YouTube videos that I watched the last couple of days, took Curtis's game plan,
and I couldn't even hear anything. I didn't even know what was going on. Every time I kept looking at the score, it said I had one dog down. I'm like, is nobody seeing what I'm eating? Like, is Carlo having technical difficulties with it? But yeah, that was gross.
Yeah. It was all your camera. If your camera was tilted down more so that we could see the dogs, there'd be no controversy. But I believe you. I there was constantly food in your mouth. There was hot dogs constantly going
disgusting.
Into your mouth. And yeah,
it was definitely disgusting.
Either way, this is what you should do now. Now take phone calls and listen to all the people just bask in your glory. And
that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Tell me why I'm the greatest.
No, let me do this. 877-710-ESPN. Just any messages for Steve Mason. That's it. Just 877-710-ESPN. If you have anything you'd like to tell Steve Mason, feel free to do it now. He took a loss today. That happens in life. You can't win every game. I think I just wanted a little bit more. 9-8 was the final score. So, Berg, I'll let them call in a little bit, and we'll take it from there. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, no worries. Yep. Good stuff, man.
All right, that's Greg Bergman. No joke. Let's put everything to the side. I feel like crap.
It's good kind of crap.
No, that was fun. I mean, to be honest with you, like the whole thing, that was pretty fun. It was random. If you've never done it before, you have no idea what to expect. So when they keep saying how many dogs are you gonna take down, I'm like, I don't know. I maybe had three dogs at once, the most in my life. So I have no idea. I had no idea what was going to happen. But the idea was great. I mean, just think about this. Every promo that ran, and this is, this is, as Mason always tries to say, for Sports Talk Radio, all comes down to entertainment. Every promo that ran for pretty much the entire day, Morales had another promo. Don't forget, 6:15. Don't forget 6:15. Every show was, screwing around about it. So that was great. That was smart to do it. I don't think I'd ever do that again. I'll do a hot wing contest. I won't do like eat as much as you can. Jess, can you take spice or no?
Oh, come on. I'm Mexican. Of course I can take spice.
Okay. Curtis, you could take spice too?
I had tapatio in my bottle. So yes.
This guy.
Tapatio is on everything. Eggs.
Tapatio in my bottle.
And some chili powder on the little bib part that I drink out of.
Some chili powder on popcorn is a bomb.
All right, so this is what I think we need to do right now. We're going to talk some Dodgers baseball. So I don't know when exactly. I feel like whatever the game plan was, I was kind of walking in very blind today with this entire game plan. So, but this is what we'll do right now. We'll get a chance. We have Alden Gonzalez, covers the Dodgers and Major League Baseball for ESPN. He's coming up next. We'll get a chance to talk some just kind of get an update of everything going on in Major League Baseball, get his thoughts on the Dodgers, Derek Jeter's comments yesterday about the players' union and the owners. So we'll get into all that. Kevin Baxter coming up a little bit later in the show. There was an article about MLS could be in jeopardy. So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll get back to you here in just a couple minutes. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I had a plan. That's it. That's all it comes down to. Sometimes you just got to execute. Got to execute the game plan. Mace probably already got the opportunity to throw up. I know that sounds gross when I say it, but it's a lot of hot dogs in seven minutes and 10 seconds. Let's take some calls. Let's just go line one. I don't need a name. I don't need anything. Line one, this is your message to Steve Mason. Feel free, whatever you'd like to say to Steve. Please, the mic is yours.
Hey, it's Solomon. Yeah, listen. Well done, Alan. You took care of business today, man. Steve, you got to watch the quiet ones. You kept goading Alan to give you more and more information. And no, he wasn't going to talk trash during the competition. You also, people were asking, hey, what are you going to do about Steve? He did the John Wooden school of competition, man. All Alan was concerned about was how he was going to do and how he was going to beat you, and he did it. So maybe something to learn. That's all I got to say.
Solomon, thank you for the call. I got no comment on that, but I do appreciate you chiming in. Let's go with line two. You're on the Sliwa Show. Please.
Yo, what up, Alan?
What's up, man?
Congratulations, brother. Mabruk. Mabruk.
That's awesome. Some Arabic in there.
Yeah, for sure. I think Steve Mason – needs to just take that medicine and walk, buddy. Well done. You represented us well, Habibi. Go Lakers. Go Vikings. Go Dodgers. Let's go.
I appreciate you calling it, man. I didn't know we were going to get some Arabic on the air. Let's go line three. Line three here.
Alan, how come you're not having Mason on there? He wouldn't let you off the hook. You should have let him off the hook. Come on.
Let me tell you why.
Good. I'm proud of you.
Let me tell you why. There's a real reason. Sometimes people, when they take an L, they got to go re-game plan. You know what I mean? They have to get back on the practice field. I told Mace, just why don't you just cut this one out? Let me take care of it from here. He didn't bring his A game today, so things like this happen.
I guarantee you, if you guys ever have another competition, he's not going to let you off the hook.
You're probably right. You're probably right on that. Maybe that's a rookie error, but that's okay. Mace's and I could just take.
Hey, I'm proud of you, though, man. You kicked his butt. That was awesome. Woohoo!
All right, man. Thank you for calling in. Whew. Curtis, what are we looking like? You just pick, Curtis. You could pick anybody on there.
We'll go line five here.
Starting to feel it a little bit. Not gonna lie.
Just keep it up. Keep it up. We'll figure it out. Okay. Line five.
Go ahead. Line five. Go ahead.
All right, baby. First off, I called Sedano and I called it. I gave him the gloss that my man Kirk Morrison gave him yesterday.
How about
the Venice
Kirk?
The Venice apron. Mm-hmm. Remember he said dude was going to have an apron on and he wasn't going to come with it. So I gave them that. All right. I told them. I got Alan Sliwa. They're going to both bog down right around the 7 count, but Sliwa's going to come through, hit us with 9 or 10 because he's a champion. I got one message for Venice Mace, who is great guy, but today you're going to wear it, loser. How does that feel?
Oh, Manuel, thank you for calling in, man. Thank you for calling in.
That's going to be a new drop, for sure.
Real quick, what happened to everybody? How about, let's just use the Sedano show. There's three people on that show. I went 0 for 3 with all three of them.
And you know what? Laura had you, and she changed her mind today.
What was she doing?
She's a hater. She's a hater.
What's she doing?
She's a straight-up hater.
No, I know why she changed. She said that I wasn't confident enough. What do they want me to do?
They just don't know you. You took the Bruce Lee approach. You let all that talking, and you were just all not even the Bruce Lee approach. You took the Phil Jackson approach. You just then you didn't call time out any time.
I'm literally pacing, just wondering what's going on in my stomach. This is not a good feeling. Definitely not a good feeling. Curtis, anyone else you want to throw on? We still have
Let's
to.
Let's do one more line six before we get to Alden here.
All right, go ahead. You're on, buddy. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, man, you did it. You did it. You let the Mamba mentality take over you, and you did it. Congratulations.
Appreciate you calling in, man.
About right there.
Appreciate you calling in. All right, let's get to Alden Gonzalez. Covers the Dodgers and Major League Baseball for ESPN. By the way, also covers the Angels. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll get Alden on the line. Appreciate everybody that called in. We'll sort of slowly start transitioning back to sports. So stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I want to welcome in Alden Gonzalez, covers the Dodgers and the Angels, as well as Major League Baseball for ESPN. Alden, thanks for taking some time on a Thursday and being a part of the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. No, of course. Let's do this. I want to start off. I want to start off in the National League. I want to start off with the Dodgers. And I know there's still so many questions before we actually get to a point where the regular season starts. And of course, Dodgers are going to be one of the clear-cut favorites. But just get your opinion. If you kind of break down the NL West, what does the NL West look like? So after the Dodgers up top, what do you think happens with the rest of the division?
It's so hard because over the course of a 162-game season, the sample size is big enough that you could sort of project ahead. There's just so much randomness and flukiness that goes on when you cut the sample size to almost a third that it's going to be really hard to predict. I mean, you don't have to look any further than the Nationals would have been out of the playoffs through the first 60 games last year, and they ended up winning the World Series. But Having said that, I think going into the year, if we were going under normal circumstances, the Diamondbacks looked like something of a clear-cut number two team, just because they were a little bit more of a veteran club. They had added Madison Bumgarner. Marte was coming off an MVP-type season. And they just looked like one of the more well-rounded teams. I'd still put them up there. I think the Padres are going to be fascinating to watch if we actually get this season going, because they have all this young pitching that under normal circumstances would have probably been under some sort of an innings limit, or maybe the guys wouldn't have been ready for the start of the season. I think the young starting pitchers are going to contribute if we get going. Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado in the same lineup is pretty dangerous. And, you know, one or two guys in one lineup tends to make a lot more of a difference when you're playing 60 games as opposed to 162. But at the end of the day, I think the Dodgers are far and away the best team in that division. I think they're far and away the best team in the National League. I think they have the star power at the top of their roster, but I also think they have depth on the pitching side. I think they have depth on the position player side. I think they're going to be probably the most well-equipped National League team to take on a designated hitter. And I think they'll be among the best teams in baseball in accounting for the fact that starting pitchers are not going to be fully stretched out and you're going to have to burn through a lot of pitchers, particularly early. Depth is always their strong suit, but especially this year when we have no idea what's going to happen with the coronavirus pandemic. We have no idea how many guys are going to end up going on that COVID-19 injured list. We don't know how soft tissue injuries are going to make a presence because of the short ramp up to the season. The Dodgers' depth, their talent, I think is second to none. And I think it's a pretty sizable gap between them and any other team in their division.
You know, it's interesting because every time we talk about the Dodgers and we try lumping in the rest of the division, there's not really that much to say about the Dodgers. And I think that, like you mentioned, 162 games, of course, that sample size is a great way for you to get the median, the average is going to come out. In 60 games, that can very well be different, but I still don't think, like you mentioned, that's going to have a humongous impact on the Dodgers. By the way, what do you think? Caesars Sportsbook put the Dodgers, I think, at 37.5 wins, so you could say 38 wins. How many wins do you think it's going to take to get in the postseason? What do you think that number is going to look like in the NL?
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. I hadn't really done the math on what that would look like. I think, going off the top of my head, I think in a typical year, teams probably aim for somewhere between maybe 88 and 90 wins. Not saying that's the minimum number of wins every year, but I think that's what teams pretty much look at as a gauge for what it would take to grab that last playoff spot. If you're averaging that out over 60 games as opposed to 162, I'm going to guess it's probably something. And yeah, I didn't go into this industry for math purposes, to be honest, but I'm going to
say 31,
32,
maybe, like, I'm assuming
probably 31, 32, somewhere in the low 30s. To win the division is going to be a lot higher, but to grab a second wild card spot, I think it's going to be 31, 32. And look, I mean, and that's the thing about this season. And that's why, full disclosure, like, it's been hard for me to summon excitement for this season because probably a huge part of me is still skeptical about whether or not, one, they're going to be able to pull this off, or two, it's even safe to play in this moment. But if they do get a season going and they are able to see it through, I think one of the more exciting things and something that's going to be so unique for baseball fans is that every game is going to mean a lot. And if a team goes through a bad week, I think they're going to be what, like 8 weeks during the regular season? One bad week could spell the end of your season. And I think if we do get going and we play this season out, I think it's going to get fans really engaged in this sport, maybe in a way that they haven't in a really long time during the regular season.
Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers and the Angels, as well as Major League Baseball for ESPN, joining the Sliwa Show. You know, Alden, I would consider myself more of a casual baseball fan. And as I kind of walked through all these negotiations that was going on, and one of the kind of themes that I just kept referring to on the show, I just kept basically saying, it's been ugly. It's been awful that it was all public, but if you just make it happen, and you eventually get to a point where, you know, we can play out 60 games, whatever the case is, it's going to be exciting. And I think that's, you know, just to play off of the point that you just made, the structure is pretty amazing. What I mean by that is for the Dodgers and the Angels to be playing, you know, obviously it's the AL West and the NL West going at it. The fact that the Astros are a part of the division as well. You're still going to get the Padres, the Giants, you know. So I love the structure of it. And I mentioned this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Bob Nightingale put out a piece on USA Today. He was just equating each game is the equivalent of 2.7 games on a 162-game schedule. So I couldn't agree more, and I have to imagine that there's going to be an incredible amount of fans, if we get to that point, are incredibly excited about what baseball has for this season.
Well, and also keep in mind that fans have been starved of sports for, what, 3-4 months? I mean, they're clamoring for anything that resembles the sports that they were accustomed to. And that was actually part of the disappointment in what played out from the labor side with Major League Baseball, is that they took so long to get this thing figured out. The players union and the league owners wasted a lot of time going back and forth, and neither side maybe sacrificing enough of what was needed to get a deal done, that they burned some time off a calendar. I mean, Saturday, it's going to be the 4th of July. And when this first started, when the negotiations first began,
that was looked at as a target date.
Mm-hmm. That was the target date, 4th of July. What greater way to celebrate America than to reintroduce baseball to the general public? And, you know, baseball lagged behind. And, you know, we're not going to get started until late July. And look, there are other circumstances here that are far beyond baseball's control, which is how the coronavirus pandemic continues to spread in this country. But, you know, if sports are able to resume this summer, baseball's going to only be going on for a little while before you get the NBA, and then you get the NFL. And, you know, baseball was really looking forward to the possibility of being the only sport up and running, and they really dropped the ball there.
Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers and the Angels, as well as Major League Baseball for ESPN, joining the Sliwa Show. Alden, yesterday Derek Jeter said that there's no trust between the players and the owners, and I'll just kind of play off the theme of you were just mentioning. This could have, they lost critical time, let's put it that way. How does that change? How does that relationship change? I mean, it seems like it only got more toxic. It was always in the public. One of the things I kind of had some frustration with was, why do I need to know, you know, why does Rob Manfred have to go to the media or to CNN? Why does Tony Clark have to put out a statement? I mean, just negotiate it yourself. How do you feel Major League Baseball, how do they kind of fix some of this, clean up this mess that they've created, and hopefully garner a relationship where there's more trust?
I think there's going to be a lot of ego checking on both sides. I think the negotiation that played out throughout this spring and summer, it was supposed to be a negotiation in a vacuum, meaning that one would hope that there is never going to be another year like this. We're never going to have these extenuating circumstances again. And so they were supposed to negotiate for this season and this season only. The problem is that you have the collective bargaining agreement expiring after next season. And I think, and this was a fear going in, and I think it's something that played out, I think there was a little bit of sort of precedent setting from both sides in terms of trying to get some things established before the big negotiation for next year. This was supposed to be the easy one. It's just figuring something out so that you could play for 2 to 3 months. But I think both sides sort of stood their ground because of what looms ahead. And I think moving forward, both sides are going to have to realize that they're going to have to give up, and they're going to have to give up a lot in the negotiation, and they're going to just, like I said, I think they're going to have to sort of check their ego. The problem here is that you got to remember that players have a really small window to maximize their earning potential. I don't know what the average lifespan is for a major league player, but it's a lot shorter than the average lifespan of an owner owning a team. And so players are always going to have the urgency to agree to something, to get something done, because they can't play the long game like owners can. Owners own these franchises basically for as long as they want. So if baseball takes a hit, like in 1994 when fans were turning away from the game because of how ugly these labor negotiations got, owners can sit back and wait it out until Major League Baseball's revenues skyrocket again, which they did in the 2010s. Players don't have that luxury. Players need to maximize their earning potential in that moment. And so that's why, you know, they feel like they're always going to be in a situation where they need to accept something that maybe does not benefit them, and where owners could sort of dig their heels in a little bit and just sort of wait it out until they get the precise deal that they want. And I think both sides, maybe especially the ownership side, needs to realize that what they're doing is they're damaging the game. And I think, and maybe this is just a recency bias here, but I feel like having this play out the way that it did publicly, like you said, and I will say that even if it hadn't played out publicly, the reality is still the reality between these two sides. There's no trust there. But having it play out this way, where these sides were fighting over money in a time when people are getting sick and dying and they're losing their jobs and they can't make their mortgage payments, nobody wants to hear that. And America, baseball was already sort of slipping from the national conscience already. And to have this play out, especially during this time, I think turned a lot of people off. Now, I don't know how that ends up playing out tangibly, because I do feel like once you start playing games, people are going to care about the games. They're going to watch the games. I don't know how that's going to affect baseball's bottom line directly, but I do know that America is becoming increasingly more apathetic toward baseball, and this certainly didn't help. And I think both sides need to realize the sort of damage that's being done to the game that probably can't be reversed.
Alden Gonzalez covers the Dodgers and Angels for ESPN, joining the Sliwa Show. Alden, so I kind of waited on this question because I figured I knew it was going to come up, but you mentioned in the beginning, I know I'm talking as if 60 games are going to be played. I know I'm talking as if there's going to be a World Series champion this year. How are you feeling? What's your confidence level that, you know, we'll get to a point where we'll get through 60 games and eventually crown a champ? Do you think that's something, do you feel it's realistic? I mean, just your personal opinion.
I don't. And I hate to be negative on the subject because I know what people need more the most right now is just sort of hope. And we need more optimism and positivity. But I don't. I think I remember early on when camps were shut down and people were still trying to figure out how it was going to play out with baseball. Some of the thought was that that the summer was going to offer up a window. The hope was that at that point, maybe the coronavirus would start. The numbers would start to go down in terms of coronavirus cases, and there would be a window, particularly I think health experts were thinking that in the summer, maybe a virus like this doesn't thrive as well as it would in the spring or in the fall and the winter, and there was going to be a real window there for baseball to play, and that's part of the reason why Major League Baseball wanted a regular season to end before the start of October, because they didn't want that perceived second outbreak of coronavirus in the fall to impact their chances of maybe playing a postseason. Problem is that cases have just continued to go up, and we've seemingly set single-day records for coronavirus cases every day in this country. And so what's happening here is that baseball is getting ready to come back at a time when it's probably the least safe to come back. I mean, I think right before I jumped on with you, I saw that the Pittsburgh Pirates are going to have to rearrange their quote-unquote summer camp schedule because their county has changed their restrictions and they're rolling back some of the stay-at-home orders. And that's going to keep happening throughout the league. And I spoke to a player earlier today who said that the big question he has going into the season is, what is it going to take for baseball to cancel its season? I think there are a lot of players who are skeptical about whether Major League Baseball could pull this off because cases just continue to rise. And who knows? Maybe we make some sort of dramatic, unforeseen turnaround that allows baseball to be played in a safe manner. But I'll be honest, right now it's really difficult for me to foresee that.
All right, final question, Alden. And again, I appreciate you joining the show and giving your insight here. So yesterday was the one-year anniversary for the loss of Tyler Skaggs, who obviously a former Angels player. You said on Twitter that it was one of the most incredible sporting events you've ever covered. This was the next game that the Angels played. It was obviously in honor of him. What do you remember from that night? Would just maybe you can kind of walk us through that experience.
Yeah, it was actually the it was their first home game since his passing, because when Tyler Skaggs passed, they were in Arlington, and then they went to Houston, and so they came back, and I'll never forget walking into the stadium that day, and sort of I was actually there at Angel Stadium the night that he passed, and I saw people come to the home plate gate, congregate there, and they set up sort of a vigil for him. And it was very emotional just seeing everybody come together and sort of finding comfort among strangers to sort of try to rationalize a loss like this. But the fact that a few days passed, I think, just created an even more emotional environment for when the Angels played that first game. And I'll never forget, I was, and this is never, I've never done this before. I've covered a ton of baseball games in my life. But that night that they honored Tyler Skaggs, they let the media be on the field for the ceremonial first pitch. I had never been that close to the dugout right before the first pitch. And so I saw all the Angels players. They were all wearing that number 45 jersey in honor of Tyler Skaggs. I saw his wife come into the dugout. I saw her come in with Tyler Skaggs' mom. And it was just so emotional to see the players all hug Debbie and Carly and all try to console her, and watching from the field as she threw a perfect strike from the pitcher's mound in honor of her son was incredible. And then watching what played out over the course of that game was incredible. The Mike Trout home run. Mike Trout was as close to Tyler Skaggs as anybody on that team. And then the combined no-hitter, and then watching everybody come out to the field later, lay their jerseys down on the mound, congregate there. It's weird because that I think that was a Friday game, and so I was reporting out a story on what happened, and I had conversations with players coming off that game that I've never had before, and they talked about how they were talking about spiritual things, like they felt like they had sort of been touched by God or something during that game. I've never had those conversations with players before. And I remember we did an interview with Mike Trout in the press conference room that night. And after it was over, he just sort of sat back and he was like, man, like, I can't believe what just happened. And it wasn't just the no-hitter. It wasn't just Debbie Skaggs throwing that perfect strike. It was a bunch of the numbers, and I don't even remember all of the numbers involved in it, but some had to do with the distance of Mike Trout's home run was in line with Tyler Skaggs' number. And
I think his birthday was 7/13, and I think they said that they put up 7 in the first inning, 13 total that game, and
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And I think there's another one, too, about the last time the Angels had a combined no-hitter was on his birthday, or something like that. It was just, or maybe it was even the day he was born. I don't know. I might be botching that completely. It's still a blur to me. But I remember there was just a million things from that night that seemed special. And so I had never seen anything like that. I'll never see anything like that before. I knew Tyler pretty well. He was one of the best people that I've ever met. One of the coolest, most honest, nicest, magnetic sort of personalities that I've ever met, and I still can't believe he's not here.
Well, Alden, I appreciate you sharing that story. I appreciate your insight on obviously talking Major League Baseball with us. So let's definitely do this again as we get closer to first pitch, and hopefully an opportunity for the Dodgers and the Angels to, you know, obviously get to a position where baseball is back. But thank you for doing this. Hope you enjoy your Thursday night, and you have a good 4th of July weekend, all right?
Thank you. You do the same.
All right, that's Alden Gonzalez right there. Okay, so I got a few of these. I know we'll kind of jump around from topics to topics, but I read a story earlier today. You heard Mason and Ramona talk about it a little bit earlier as well. MLS, this MLS Bat is Back tournament could be in jeopardy. So Kevin Baxter from the LA Times wrote the article. We'll get a chance to get his thoughts. What is going on with the MLS? Everybody thought July 8th the tournament was going to start. The Galaxy, LAFC is supposed to be in the same group.
We'll get the latest on the LAFC coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.